Every child, put down your toys and come inside to sleep. We have to look you in the eye and say we sold you cheap. Let's confess, we did not act.
The Oils are back, and not just back on the scene with their number one album, Resist, but back in Australia for the final leg of Midnight Oil's farewell tour. Peter Garrett, welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Hey, Patricia.
You've just returned from touring America and Europe. What was it like getting back overseas and performing on international stages?
Look, it was brilliant to be up on stage and to be doing the shows, Patricia. It was an indifferent experience in some ways because of everything else that was going on. I mean, you had all the political turmoil in the States with the Supreme Court decisions and the post-Trump presidency fallout. And then, of course, in Europe, a war on the eastern flanks and people very concerned about what might happen there. So, I mean, a great time to be playing in some ways, but also quite challenging. And I think for us, we had lots to say about what was going on, but we're also very aware of the fact that we were, you know, on stages playing to our audiences whilst around us all sorts of mayhem was undertaken.
Yeah, so much mayhem. How has your new album, Resist, been received by international audiences?
Look, it's been received pretty well. I mean, you know, it's a truism in this particular world that we're in that your new stuff's never considered as good as your old stuff. But I think that the album's so focused and so, in some ways, so strongly, partly around climate stuff, of course, but also very focused, the distillation really of what we've been singing and writing about and performing about for many, many years. And Europe is in a state of great flux for things that many of your listeners will have been watching or listening to. And it seems as though both for critics and for the audiences themselves, the album has touched a chord with them. And I mean, you know, you're never really sure until you walk out on the stage or till you put something out how it's going to go down. But yeah, probably much better than anyone expected, including us.
The Oils guitarist Jim Magini said the album was a protest at its core. Is that the intention you had when creating Resist?
Look, I think you really don't know what the songs are going to be saying until they pop out of people's back pockets. But once we got them together and considering, well, the fact that we've been singing and writing about things for such a long time, some stuff that I think has travelled well and other things which are completely unresolved. And we're at that stage of life in our career where we need to lay it out as hard and as clear and as strongly as we can. So, yes, Jimmy's right, you know, there's a strong protest album element to what we're saying and doing here. And it's a time for it, Patricia, particularly around climate, the climate crisis, but a bunch of other things as well, which in some ways are self-evident, in some ways, you know, need possibly to be said by people like us, and hopefully others will listen.
One issue you do address, and you just mentioned it, is climate change, the climate crisis, the climate emergency, as many are describing it. The Albanese government has passed its climate bill through the lower house. Obviously, it's got to get through the Senate, but the Greens have indicated they will vote for it, which makes them one step closer to delivering their election promise of this 43% emissions reduction target by 2030. What's your take on that? Are you pleased to see it? Would you like it to go further?
Look, I'm really pleased that the government's got that far. We've had such a shocking decade that's really been quite distressing to watch it. Whatever your perspective is, we've got to get on top of this issue and we've got to get on top of it fast. So, yeah, look, it's a foundation, but it's a foundation for further action. And you know, I'll be watching with a great deal of interest and encouraging us to lift our ambition as a nation, which we can do, and start getting ourselves not only the path to net zero by 50 is a bit of a furphy, and you'll discuss this with experts on your program over time. But really, in the short term, at least we have the foundation for action. They had a mandate to do something about the climate crisis, and it is a crisis. So let's just get on with it and let's just see how we can lift that ambition.
It's the floor, not the ceiling, as we've heard. They're going to go further. Well, at least it allows for them to go further. Would you urge them to?
Yeah, totally. And I think that, you know, hopefully the parliament is a more productive place, a more constructive place for them to be able to do that. But they have the opportunity as a government with other signals and measures that they can send into the economic system, things that they can do in terms of working with state governments. You know, there's a wide range of activities that are in play that countries are looking at to make sure that they do reduce emissions quickly over time. I mean, you know, Antonio Guterres was very clear about it quite recently. Governments can't sleepwalk our lives into catastrophe, as it were. And for us, now's the opportunity to actually get stuff done. And I think people are feeling a sense of the possibilities of doing it. The technology's there. The economic arguments stack up. The employment arguments stack up. So let's just get on with it.
You were Minister for Environment and the Arts from 2007 to 2010 with Kevin Rudd's Labor government, of course, and that's how we really know each other better.
Yeah, we do.
How have the Greens and Labor relations changed since your time in Parliament? What did you make of the way the Greens handled it this time? Obviously, they famously blocked the CPRS, which has been highly criticised over a number of years.
Yeah, look, I mean, the fact of politics is that it's a matter of gradual compromise. Sometimes you can take big steps as well, and we need to take big step on climate, but we need to get there with gradual steps. And so I think that history where the perfect was the enemy of the good was absolutely regrettable. It looks like there's more constructivity in the system as far as the parties are concerned. To be honest, I haven't been following it that closely. We were away and, you know, I tried to staff my phone, as it were, and, you know, sort of circulating the sites and just concentrating on the shows. But I'm pleased that they have shown, as I think many of members of the parliament are showing, some sense that, you know, we can no longer essentially reduce arguments about climate to questions of cultural war and ideology. This is a really infantile way for a mature democracy to be conducting itself. And if we are maturing in the parliament, as I think people really want and hope for and expect, then that can, again, only be a good thing.
As you look back at your time on politics and since then, you've really, really thrown yourself back into music, which all our music fans listening were probably happy that, you know, that they get to see you on stage again. But how do you reflect on that time?
Look, I don't spend a lot of time reflecting on it, Patricia, to be honest.
That's because you're living your best life, right?
Well, you know, I wrote the book. I said what I had to say, and I certainly considered it a mighty privilege. And I think we got a lot of good things done. And, of course, we had some ups and downs along the way. I mean, they're sort of talking point cliches in a way, but that's the truth of it. You know, no one emerges from politics, I don't think anyway, if they've gone in for reasons which are genuine, feeling anything other than a great sense of privilege and gratitude for being able to do that stuff. And I liked, you know, I liked the business being a local member. I was glad that we were able to do big things like take the Japanese to the International Court of Justice and knock them off on whaling. I mean, there's a bunch of other things there that people can go back and look at. But ultimately, you're in a working democracy. You're doing the very best that you can. You're working with colleagues who are committed. I valued that time very highly.
You mentioned before that people are always like, you know, like your old stuff better than your new stuff. I'm probably a deviation from that. My favourite work of yours is the Macarata project that you did. Newish. I think that was the most extraordinary work. And advocating for Indigenous rights is really core to Midnight Oil's ethos and songs, and nothing more than that actual album proves that. You released your first single in 18 years called Gadigal Land. All proceeds from the song went to supporting the Uluru Statement from the Heart. Now the government hopes to get the voice enshrined and hold a referendum next year, or potentially in this term is what they promised. How hopeful are you that it can be delivered? I know you say you've been travelling, but there's obviously been a commitment now from the Prime Minister, a form of words for a question. Are you hopeful?
I am. I think this is one of our great tests as a nation, well, the modern Australian nation, respecting the first Australian nations. And the wording is very clear. I think for what you can take from public opinion polls, it seems like a majority of Australians are ready for us to take this step. And I think it would be a huge pity if, A, it got bedeviled by, in a sense, diversionary tactics that seek to cast some sort of pall over what is actually a very straightforward and simple proposition. And secondly, again, putting the cart before the horse or vice versa. The work that went into writing that incredible document has been substantial on the part of many, many Aboriginal people and people who support them. And I think that we can do it. As a nation, we can be the better place, if you like, by understanding the spirit of what's intended and thinking that, yes, we can work through the practicalities and we can give people an opportunity to do that, but we have to make a statement of support in the first place. We can't do it the other way around. So, yeah, I'm reasonably hopeful. We're 100% behind it. And you're right. I mean, when we came back, the first bit of music that we ended up having as Midnight Oil was actually the Macarata Project, which essentially was a bunch of songs which were very close to our hearts, but which became the songs that they were because we invited First Nations artists and performers in to join us in co-writes or to sing with us when we made that record. And I too was actually really pleased that we were able to get that done. And I hope it can be a bit of a soundtrack for A Voice to Parliament over the next year or two.
Yeah. Will you lend your voice to the Yes campaign? Can we expect more music as well? Like a Vote Yes song?
Well, the voice is definitely there. More music? Well, I'm not sure. We have to wait and see. I mean, we've got essentially the last of our runs as a touring band, you know, in this form and in this way coming up. We'll have all that finished by, you know, the end of September, early October. And then we'll just have to have a look around and people will, you know, go their own way and do their own thing at times. Maybe we'll come back together to make some music. We don't really know. But I think it's been such a key part of our experience as working musicians. You know, we often say we didn't end up in the nightclubs in New York and London. You know, we ended up in the Western Desert communities and up in the top end. It changed us forever as people. It enabled us to learn stuff that we'd never learned at school. And it gave us a sense of what was possible if we decide to really address this question of properly reconciling with First Australians and having that reflected in the institutions of the nation. And I think, you know, once that happens, then the other stuff, the many challenges that are out there, including closing the gap at all, are much better managed.
Just finally, you're back on home soil and you're preparing for your performance at the Monday Monday Bash in Broken Hill. What can the audience expect?
Well, you know, there'll be a few green and grey nomads out there, I'm guessing. look, when the oars play outside, something really special happens for me. You know, I don't know, something, it's about the sound, maybe it's the songs, the rhythm, the way the boys play. It usually just takes on something which is almost a bit hard to describe, but it's pretty good to be a part in the midst of all of that. It's an incredible part of the country, and it's pretty close to where we actually shot the film clip for Beds of Burning. So for us, the circle is turning and closing. It'll be great to be able to play to lots of people. We'll play as many songs as we can for as long as we can.
Yeah, that film clip, Beds of Burning, is so iconic, right? Why did you head out there to film it? What were you hoping to provoke with that video?
Well, firstly, I think a sense of the place Australia, which is not only the cities and the beaches, but the other parts and parts where Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people had lived for so long, a sense that we were on a journey ourselves of discovery, if you like, and ended up at this point of saying, well, actually, if we are going to sleep easily at night, then we have to make some big actions in terms of providing the rights of a history that was wrong. And that means giving land back. It means giving rights back. And we can do it. And somehow getting that into a song, and then, you know, you find an atmosphere that's as exotic, well, not exotic, but, you know, as sort of persuasive and Australian as we shot in the clip. And then, of course, we end up in Redfern on the block with people dancing with us as well at the time. So you're never really sure when you head out to do these clips whether they're going to work or not. But, yeah, I think that one ultimately did. So full credit to the people that made that clip.
Are our beds still burning?
Oh, well, it depends on your perspective, yes and no. You know, so yes, in a sense they are. There'll always be things that we've got to grapple with and we've got to confront, we've got to deal with and we've got to do better with. So in a sense, maybe the beds are always burning, but there's also the opportunity for us to take the steps that we think are really there for human communities and particularly in our own country, which we love deeply. And, you know, some of the songs and some of the performances are not necessarily aimed at convincing people of anything, but it is a way of saying this is how we feel and we want to share it with you and you take it where you will.
Peter Garrett, it's been so lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's a great pleasure after all this time, Patricia.
Midnight Oil frontman Peter Garrett and the band are about to begin the final leg of their farewell tour, starting at the Monday Monday Bash in Broken Hill next week.